You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. When medication doesn't work to control the debilitating symptoms of Parkinson's disease, patients have another option, a last resort, brain surgery. A technique known as deep brain stimulation, DBS, targets the areas responsible for the symptoms. DBS has also been used to treat depression and epilepsy. UPenn surgeon Gordon Baltuk has completed 1,000 DBS surgeries. He reached that milestone recently, and he joins us now to talk about it. Gordon, thank you so much for being here.
Mike, and thank you for having me.
What is your role during this procedure? What do you do?
I'm the neurosurgeon who puts the deep brain stimulator into these patients' brain.
And what happens during this procedure in the most simple terms?
In the most simple terms, we take a simple wire and we place it in a structure deep in someone's brain, a structure about the size of a Rice Krispie. We connect that wire to a battery, and we put electricity through that battery and modulate the function of that person's brain in a way as to impact on their disease.
How do you know where to put the wire?
That has been discussed before we go into the operating room, and those targets have been sort of developed on the basis of neuroscience and neuroscientific investigation.
So how do you know where to put the wire? How do you find the target?
So what we do is we place what we call a stereotactic frame on someone's head, and then we go to and get an MRI of their brain. That converts every point in their brain into an X, Y, and Z coordinate. It's kind of like a GPS of the brain. After that, we can point at that, and then we can figure out how to bring our electrode right to that target through a very small incision on the head.
And the frame, could I imagine it like a helmet, perhaps?
Exactly.
What does it look like?
It's like a square, and it's got two pins in front and two pins in back.
So a bit medieval, perhaps?
Very medieval.
So if the surgery works right, what can it do for a Parkinson's patient? How does it change their life and their symptoms?
Well, in the classic indication for advanced Parkinson's disease is a patient who has what we call poorly controlled motor fluctuations. They live their life in a sort of roller coaster where they're off and often frozen and slow to where their medications kick in and then overkick in, and they have abnormal movements such as dyskinesias. And often that roller coaster is very unpredictable. What surgery will classically do is it will even out that roller coaster. So it goes from being sort of, Fahrenheit roller coaster at Hershey Park to sort of the baby roller coaster, which is much more even. And they'll have usually 4 to 6 extra hours of good time in the day where they're not feeling those sort of unpredictable ons and offs.
How did you get interested in this procedure? Where did you learn it?
Interestingly enough, I had trained in Montreal, which had a huge history of epilepsy and movement disorder surgery. At the time in Montreal, when we had patients with Parkinson's disease, we used to make lesions in their brain. And after I finished training, I went for postgraduate training in Switzerland. And I remember they brought a patient with Parkinson's disease. And I asked them, where are we going to make the lesion? And their answer was, we don't make lesions anymore for Parkinson's disease. We put electrodes in and we modulate the brain. And that's when I first really saw that being done for Parkinson's disease. And then when I came back to North America and I took a job at the University of Pennsylvania, there was a lot of interest in this procedure. And the neurologist saw this as a real potential game changer for the treatment of Parkinson's disease. And then it sort of all took off from there.
How do you get ready for surgery? I don't mean in terms of the work preparation, but you as a person, do you have a ritual?
I sort of get my brain into it, literally and figuratively, and focus and sort of realize that there's a lot of stuff that's going on in your life. But right now your commitment has to be towards the patient and putting this electrode in a certain place. And I think it's a question of really channel and focusing what you need to do and really blotting everything completely out, no matter what it is.
So if you have a water leak or anything like that, it has to go.
everything gone. You really need to be focused on one thing at that point in time.
How long does the procedure take?
Procedure takes about 6 to 8 hours.
What's the hardest? What takes so long?
I think, you know, there are multiple steps to this procedure, from putting on the stereotactic frame at the beginning to finally implanting the pacemaker, which goes under the clavicle. But the sort of the most involved and difficult portion of this operation is when we are inside the brain with the microelectrodes and finally the stimulator, and really trying to carefully localize where we put this electrode and where we're going to put the stimulator. That's probably the longest and most involved part of this procedure.
Do you ever get nervous during the surgery? Were you nervous in the beginning?
No, not really. I think I'm actually at my most comfortable in life when I'm in the operating room in general. I mean, the operations always have sort of an excitement to them before every surgery. You know, you're going into something and there's sort of a certain stress around that. But once we sort of get involved, we're so focused on what we are doing. There really isn't, it's sort of, everything else is sort of displaced and you're sort of very focused on getting a successful outcome to your operation.
Gordon, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Gordon Baltoch is the director of the Penn Center for Functional and Restorative Neurosurgery.